A Bible study tonight is out of Ezekiel chapter 31, verses 1 through 18. God's precedent in proud Assyria of Egypt's fall in judgment. God punishes the sin of pride. Satan's heart was lifted up in pride and he fell. And all like him who are lifted up in pride will fall. For as God's word declares, pride comes before fall. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. However, a party that is humanly well-established and proud can seem impervious to the threat that his pride will lead to his fall. So God has a very effective way of communicating the reality of his punishment on pride. That communication is provided for us in Ezekiel 31, 1 to 18, the chapter. And so we view it for our insight and our application. I'd like to read the chapter and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 31. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude, quote, Who art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon, with fair branches and with shadowing shroud, and of an high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and set out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field. His boughs were multiplied, his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nests in his boughs, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young. And under his shadow dwelt all great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness, and the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his boughs, and the chestnut trees were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the Gentiles. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And foreigners, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off and have left him upon the mountains and all the valleys. His branches are fallen, his boughs are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from his shadow and have left him. Upon his ruins shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be on his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the waters exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height, all that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether parts of the earth, and in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning. I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed, and I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to Hades with them that descend into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, and the choice and the best of Lebanon, all the drink water shall be comforted in the nether parts of the earth. They also went down into Hades with him unto them that be slain with a sword, and they that were his arm that dwell under his shadow in the midst of the Gentiles. To whom art thou thus like in glory and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden into the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. Less than 2 months after God's prediction in Ezekiel 30, 20 to 26, that Egypt would fall to Babylon, the Lord gave Ezekiel another prediction about Pharaoh and Egypt, and that prediction is this chapter that we have, Ezekiel 31. Now, the structure of this new prophecy reveals its reason for being given. It's interesting God is very, very comfortable moving amongst different types of literary genres when he writes scripture. And there, a lot of this is poetry, but it's a, this is what I call a classic sandwich that God has created here. The structure of this new psalm, this new prophecy, reveals its reason for being given, so we view the structure. The prophecy opens and closes with a reference to Pharaoh and his multitude. You notice in verse 2a, it says, "Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitude." And you go way down to verse 18, the last sentence, "This is Pharaoh and all his multitude, saith the Lord." So God's focus is on Pharaoh and all his multitude. That's in the back of his mind. Now, as the prophecy opens, it asks the question of Pharaoh, "Whom are you like in your greatness?" And the bulk of the prophecy then refers to Assyria, whom God had already punished. So he starts addressing Pharaoh, then he talks about Assyria, the whole thing, Assyria, and then he gets back to Pharaoh. That's a sandwich. Pharaoh on either end, and Assyria in the big. And it's a big sandwich. Okay, Assyria offered a good example for Egypt to use in comparing herself for two things. Assyria was the only Mesopotamian nation that had invaded Egypt and destroyed its capital of Thebes, making her Egypt's equal in might and power. So if you're going to talk about Assyria, Egypt would pay attention because she knew about Assyria. And then Assyria had been destroyed by Babylon, the nation that Ezekiel had predicted would also invade and destroy Egypt. So what happened to Assyria is important for Egypt. Now, the only cause given in this Ezekiel 31, 1-18 prophecy for God's destroying Assyria is supplied in Ezekiel 31:10. That reason being the sin of Assyria's great pride in its exaltation as a nation. In fact, that's in the center of this prophecy about Assyria. God builds up, likens Assyria to a tree and so forth. But here's this tree. It's lifted up itself and exalted in pride. So now we're going to cut the tree down and we're going to waste it. So accordingly, since Pharaoh and Egypt considered themselves very great, this prophecy was given by God as a precedent for the destruction of Egypt's peer in greatness in the nation Assyria by Babylon, as cause for Egypt to fear her own destruction by the same nation of Babylon. You see, Egypt was thinking, "You're going to talk about my destruction? Oh, give me a break. I'm a great nation. I've been around for a long time." And so God is using Ezekiel to say, "Well, you know about Assyria?" "Oh yeah, Assyria, that was a great nation. Well, Assyria's been blown over by Babylon. You're next." So Ezekiel 31, 22b to 18, that zero should be a dash in there. 2b dash 18, the ESV prophecy thus proceeds as follows. Number one, God asked whom Egypt and his great multitude was like in her greatness. Fittingly, as we discussed in section B above, the Lord answered that it was Assyria. And then he described how Assyria, in spite of her greatness, had still been destroyed by Babylon. The capital of Assyria, believe it or not, was 200 square miles. It's a very huge capital. It was Nineveh. Huge area. A lot of people. And Babylon trashed it. So this ought to be a wake-up call. In fact, I've seen a photograph we have in Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia from, must be 4 or 5 miles away. And there's a hill upon which Nineveh sat. Huge thing. And it just goes on for acre after acre after acre. And the city was destroyed by the Babylonians. Well, Assyria had been a great flourishing cedar of Lebanon with beautiful branches, forest shade, its top towering seemingly up to the clouds. The tree of Assyria was well watered so that it became greater than all the surrounding trees. The surrounding trees would be likened to the nations, with all the birds of the heavens nesting in its branches and the beasts of the field giving birth under its shade. The birds of the heavens also and the beasts are likened to various people groups throughout the Middle East. They came into Assyria. Assyria is sort of like the place where everything was, like New York City. It's where the action was, so that's where they came. God even declared that Assyria as a cedar was so great that it surpassed in beauty and greatness the trees of the Garden of Eden. The trees of Eden even figuratively envying it. Nevertheless, because Assyria was exalted in pride, God decided to give it into the hand of a mighty one who would deal with it in accord with the wicked pride that the Assyrians exhibited. It's interesting, the Babylonians were not a really righteous nation. God was going to judge the Babylonians too, but the Babylonians were a fierce and a ruthless group of people, and God used them as the whipping post for the Middle East. And then shortly after that, then he did a number on Babylon. But foreigners, the ruthless Babylonians, would cut the tree down and leave it, its branches falling off, its boughs dropping into the ravines, and all the people who had sought its shade leaving it. Indeed, the birds would dwell on its broken trunk, and the beasts on its fallen branches, so that no trees would reach up to the heavens again in pride, and Assyria would go down into the underworld or the netherworld. So God wasn't going to let a nation become that proud again in the Middle East. And that's why he said, I'm going to make an end of Assyria, and then I'm going to keep other nations from becoming that exalted. Assyria and all the other evil nations, including Egypt, would go down to Sheol with fallen Assyria, so that in the end, no nation would be able to exalt itself in pride over any other nation. You know, it's something that, and I've always noticed this when you study world history. When I was in college and high school and so forth, we studied Western civilization, world history and everything. They talk about all these nations, how great they'd been, and they show photographs, you know, the pyramids and the Sphinx and, in Egypt and these other amazing places. Where are those nations? Gone. Just gone. And God is the one who outlasts all these nations. So having described the fall of Assyria, Egypt's peer, and divine judgment under Babylonian invasion, God applied the case of Assyria to Egypt, claiming Egypt would also be brought down in death. Thus Pharaoh and his multitude would surely be destroyed like Egypt's past equal, Assyria. So to convince Pharaoh and Egypt that their doom was sure because of pride, God referred to the precedent of the fall of Egypt's equal Assyria to Babylon as evidence that Egypt would also fall to Babylon for her great pride. So, an application. If we ever think that we are above God's discipline due to some greatness in us, we need to recall other great people whom God has severely punished for their fall into sin, and thus quickly get humbled and repent. I'm thinking of two of Israel's kings. We're going to study one this coming Sunday, and I'll refer to him, Uzziah. Uzziah became a king of Judah, and he reigned for 52 years. That's a long reign. In fact, that's longer than David. David reigned, 40 years? But he reigned 52 years. And this man, I know the Slates will love this, he loved farming. So he made wells all over the place. He had crops down in the lowland of the Jordan Valley. He also had herds all over the place in the western lowlands. He just loved farming. And then he built up his army. He had huge towers built throughout the wilderness and in Israel. And on these towers, he put these catapults that could throw great big stones. And it got to the point where he became famous. Even Egypt heard about him. Well, he became so famous, he got proud. And then he went into the temple of the Lord and tried to burn incense on the altar of incense. The priests boldly came in to this very famous king. And they said, it's not for you, O King Uzziah, to offer the incense. That's for the priests. Uzziah got mad. He got angry. He started to lose his temper. And as he raged, then the Lord struck him with leprosy right on his forehead and just broke out very quickly. So the priests rushed him out, and he spent the rest of his life as a leper. And his son reigned, Jotham reigned, as he was in this separate house. And then when he died, they didn't bury him with the kings because he was a leper, so they buried him in the field of the kings, not with the kings. I mean, this is a man who's famous, big, and then boom. The other king I'm thinking about is David. David, when he was at the peak, and when this situation with Bathsheba happened, and he sinned, and then ever after that, God says that trouble, the sword will never leave your house. And you look at the life of David from that point on, the sword never left his house. Trouble after trouble after trouble. And even when he was old man, there was still fighting going on, and his son Adonijah killed some people, tried to set himself up as king, and so Solomon had to hurry up and get Solomon crowned. Even up to the time when he was near death, David, the sword was still troubling this man. He was a great man. In fact, God had established the Davidic covenant after David, but the sin was inexcusable. So, you know, all we have to do is think about Uzziah or think about David. These are great men. So we're certainly not immune to the Lord lowering us. So we need to be humble before the Lord. And if we think that we're too high and lofty to be punished by the Lord, we better think again and quickly get humble and quickly repent.